If you could only see what I see, which you can't, because all you could see is me right now. But it's so wonderful to see you here again in this, our mother church, where many of us laid on that very floor, remember? We were anointed over there, or over there, I don't remember. I was over here, I think. And it's so good to see you here. I have to tell you a secret. I left the Philadelphia area in July of 2012. So July will be, I think, 9 years. And every year, I would then watch this mass later on YouTube. And I would watch you guys walking in. What a sight. And I would say, oh man, I can't believe I'm not there. And I would think, last year I sat there, and there was a real sense of sadness to not be here, especially for this particular Mass in which we all got together. And every year I watched you guys walk in, and I watched you guys walk out, right? Never thinking that one day I'll be sitting there. That's surreal. Go figure. I don't know what they were thinking. I get asked often, actually, what does priest ask me? You guys, some of you guys ask me this. So what does it feel like, you know, having been a priest of Philadelphia to become the archbishop? And I says, well, you tell me. Close your eyes and think of you. And then there's the answer to your question, right? But here's the other side of that. The other side of that is the absolute joy of being here. Have there been challenges this year? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Are there challenges in the Church of Philadelphia? Yeah, and so there is every place else. We're not unique. We don't have a corner on that market, trust me. But the sheer joy of being back among you and with you overshadows for me the challenges. To be back around familiar faces. I know most of you. And to be able to go around and visit you in your parishes and gatherings. I was recently in Lent with a group of priests. There were about 45. I think I knew like 40-something of them. You don't appreciate what you have until you really don't have it anymore. And for a while, I didn't have that. I had other wonderful priests, but not my brother priest of Philadelphia. And as I said in my installation, once a priest, a Philly priest, always a Philly priest. It like you carry it in your blood. We were formed in the same place, in the same way. So thank you for taking the time of being here today. We thank all the people that are joining us virtually who couldn't be here today. In a particular way, I want to do a shout out to Archbishop Chaput and Cardinal Regali, who are maybe joining us virtually. Give them a round of applause for all they have done and do for us. I want to give a shout out to my brother bishops, who I've known all of them for 30 years. They've been so supportive of me, true brothers, in the episcopacy and in the priesthood. And Bishop Delaman was my seminarian supervisor. Where is he? There he is, over there. And sometimes he calls me Archbishop. Worse is when they call you Excellency. I say, there's nothing excellent about me. But give my brother bishops a round of applause. They have great love for you. And I have to say, I have great love for you. I love you as my brother priest, as a priest of the Church of Philadelphia. I want to thank you for the extraordinary work that you've done throughout this year in particular, where life and ministry as we have done it has changed, continues to change. And you didn't skip a beat in serving and walking with, accompanying and feeding your people. The church is grateful to you. The people that you serve are grateful to you. And as the Archbishop, I actually get to speak in the name of the people. So I am deeply grateful to you. Give yourselves a round of applause. So this beautiful chrism mass, you know, we bless chrism and the oil of the sick and the oil of the catechumen, which we will use to serve our people, to ordain priests, to welcome those into the church, to welcome them at baptism, to walk with them and accompany them and soothe them at their moments of sickness. These oils are blessed today. Allow the words of the prayers over the oils to speak to our hearts. Allow that moment for itself. We also celebrate the priesthood in a particular way today. I was thinking this morning at prayer that, you know, the first time I visited the upper room in Jerusalem, many of you have been there, whether it was exactly there or not, it really doesn't matter. I was closer to the upper room there than I am right now, in one way. But in that upper room, it's where this actually happened. In the heart and the mind of Christ, you and I were in that upper room. We were there. We didn't know it yet. It would take 2,000 years for us to figure that one out. But you and I were there in his heart and in his mind. And we were there already with our joys and our sorrows, with our virtue and our sins and our habits and everything of who we are, all wrapped up into one. We were in that upper room. You were there. I was there. And from there, the Lord called you and called me. So I would invite you throughout this day to return, in a sense, to your own upper room. You know what that upper room looked like, the scriptures tell us. But we each had an upper room, too, where we, for the first time, remembered or felt the call to serve the Lord at that table, which is that table. Same one. That table and that table over there that you'll all serve tonight. The same table. There was that upper room in which you and I in the heart and mind of Christ were already present. And then there's the upper room that's here right now in that table, in the Mother Church, the altar of the Church of Philadelphia. But there's also the upper room where you and I felt called to the priesthood for the first time. Now for some of you, lots of things have happened since that day, right? For some of you, it's 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, 80 years ago, I don't know. For some of you, it just happened last year. You don't know how wonderful that is. All the things that happened and all the things of those who were ordained last year, that's yet to happen. And it's been a big mixed bag, right? Moments of great joy and moments of sadness and challenge. But through it all, God's grace has been there with us and for us. So I would invite you to revisit your own personal upper room, whatever that was, whichever way that looked like, and thank God for that moment. St. John Paul II had this to say about his upper room. He said this actually in Los Angeles all the way back, I think, in 1987, I think. This is what he said. I'm often asked, especially by young people, why I became a priest. I must begin saying that it is impossible to explain entirely, for it remains a mystery, even to myself. How does one explain the ways of God? Yet I know that at a certain point in my life, I became convinced that Christ was saying to me what he had said to thousands before me. Come and follow me. There was a clear sense that what I had heard in my heart was no human voice, nor was it just an idea of my own. Christ calling me to serve him as a priest. And you can probably tell that I am deeply grateful to God for my vocation to the priesthood. Nothing means more to me or gives me greater joy than to celebrate Mass each day and to serve God's people in the church. That has been true ever since the day of my ordination as a priest. Nothing has changed this, not even becoming Pope. That's his story, but each one of us has our own. And in the 20 years, in 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, or 1 year that we have all been priests, we could relate to that story. Who could understand the mind of God? It's mystery, but it's also providence for you and for the people you have been called to serve. And in your time, our time as priests, we have occupied different positions and different places and different assignments, each with its character, each with its mission, each with its challenges. Those assignments came and went. But it was there that you and I were called to be that presence of Christ that we were ordained to be, ordered to be. For in particular, priests in the United States, but for us in particular here in Philadelphia, the last 20-something years have been tough, as we have had to face, suffer, and in a sense respond for the evil acts of some of our own brothers. And in so many ways, you and I had to ask for forgiveness for things we had personally never done. In so many ways, we were Christ-like, right? He took upon our sins, even though he himself had no sin. What is more priestly than that? We have been called a particular time that we have served in the last 20-something years to have to carry the sins of our brothers and beg the world for forgiveness. But what a priestly act that has been, right? Because it is what Christ did for us, for you, for me, that now we got to do in so powerful ways and painful ways. It was for Christ himself. He carried upon himself our sins. So remember that tomorrow when you kiss that cross, that you have been carrying that cross too. We all have. But also remember that the cross didn't stay there tomorrow. It was transformed into a powerful symbol of love and life. In that time of our priesthood, like I said, we occupy different places. Pope Francis says that actually the priest occupies three different places at different times. He says that sometimes the priest walks in front of his people and the people follow us. Sometimes the priest walks in the midst of his people. In fact, that's where we spend most of our time, walking in the midst of our people. As a fellow pilgrim throughout this journey. No different than they are, with our ups and downs, but we're walking with them, as Christ walked with his apostles in their midst. And then sometimes the priest walks behind his people, kind of nudging them, pushing them, right? I kind of saw that in a very dramatic way a couple of years ago. I was actually in Galilee, looking at a slope, and there was a shepherd with a flock of sheep. And it was interesting to watch what he did, because it would have been what Jesus looked at, and then he alludes to in his public ministry. He walked in the middle of this flock of sheep. Sometimes he kind of like squatted down in their midst, as they roamed around. Sometimes he walked in front of them and they followed. And then other times he walked behind them. And there was always, it appeared to be, there was always one dumb sheep. And he would go over to that sheep and he would go like this and kick it. And the sheep would come back to the fold. And that's what you and I have been doing for all of our priesthood. These are words of John Paul II when he speaks about the priest. It seems to us that in the difficulties of today, God wishes to teach us more deeply the value, importance, and central place of the cross of Jesus. In the priest, Christ relives the passion. For the sake of souls, let us give thanks to God who permits us to share in the redemption in our hearts and in our flesh. Wow. That in us, in our ups and downs, in our virtue, in our sin, in the things that make people happy and the things that drive them crazy, that in all of that, we share in the redemptive act of Christ. And we know that, right? We know that because when we come to that altar, there is a moment that God, that Christ's words and our words are one. When you and I will say in just a little bit, this is my body and this is my blood. I would have rather say it is the body of Christ and the blood of Christ and leave me out of it. The Lord didn't want us to be out of it. He called you and he called me to carry the sins of others, to hear them, to forgive them, and to be an oil of gladness for them. Man, how blessed we are. God bless you.